This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Into summertime, we began a discussion yesterday about summer agricultural topics. Turns out there was so much information, we turned it into a two-day program with Logan Bennett. Thanks for coming back in from the Oregon State University Extension Service.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So, and by the way, we got into really talking about soil yesterday. You've got what's your official degree?
I have a master's degree in soil science focusing on soil pathology.
And some of the things that we talked about, you mentioned off the air that you have three-hour talks on?
Oh, yeah. So soils, blueberries, farm safety, fertilization, these are all like passionate topics of mine. And so I do master gardener trainings that are literally 3 hours long on each of those topics.
Wow. So we're going to get into, as they would say back in the day, page two of the notes that we didn't quite get to from yesterday. And I think we left off... I'm not sure where we left off.
We had just finished talking about fertilizer as organic matter, and then we were starting to talk about fertilizer timing.
Right. So let's jump over and talk about heat safety and kind of start from there, which ironically with temperature going back up is something to keep in mind.
Yes. And this summer it looks like we're going to have a lot of hot, dry days. So heat safety is something we really want to be thinking about, whether you're a farmer, a gardener, or rancher, or just somebody who works outdoors, heat safety is a huge deal, and especially this summer.
And, you know, it's interesting when you work in an office all the time. I'm outside a lot on the weekends, sometimes after work, but I'm outside by my own choosing for however long I want to be there. But when you have the jobs, and a lot of these folks are listening to us, where you are out in a vehicle, or you're out doing landscaping, or you're out doing whatever type of work, you're out all day. And I know there's a lot of concerns, or maybe not even beyond concerns, but just sort of a lot of ways to make sure you stay safe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I catch myself doing this a lot. I work outdoors frequently, especially this time of year. And heat, for example, heat exhaustion or heat illnesses can develop really gradually. So, you know, as an example, I'll be out watering beds or planting or doing something on the farm grounds, and then all of a sudden I'm starting to realize I'm getting some symptoms and I need to deal with that. And that's because these things can gradually develop, and then by the time you realize something's going on, you're already experiencing maybe the early symptoms of heat exhaustion.
Yeah, and definitely have felt that doing some of my marathon walking. And then back in the day, when I did cycling for years, I used to do very long distances. And back then, it wasn't as easy to, get supplies sometimes, depending on, you know, if you're out on a long trek, you may be miles away, and then suddenly realize that your water bottle is empty.
Yeah. So that's why it's really good to be carrying extra supplies. If you're going to be outdoors all day, obviously drink a lot of water. My PI, my personal investigator, when I was in grad school, that's like the person who's in charge of you when you're in grad school, told us that when we were working in the field, if we didn't have to use the bathroom, we weren't drinking enough water.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've heard that before. And so you've got to deal with that. But also, not just for you, but if you've got a farm, what about the animals?
Yeah, so livestock can also experience this heat illness. And it's important to know that because, for example, if you've got a dairy, you're losing milk production, you can lose weight gain on beef cattle or any livestock you're growing for meat. Reproduction is harder with heat illness. The feed efficiency, so when you're feeding those animals, they're not getting a normal amount of weight gain or milk production off of those. And then these things can occur way before you start seeing livestock collapse. So we want to make sure that we have water systems out there and that they're continually full for these livestock animals.
All right, now let's talk about fire safety. There's one that's certainly coming up as well.
Yeah, so I think since I've been in the Umpqua Valley, fire safety has been something we've been pretty focused on. It can get pretty dangerous if you're not thinking ahead about how to protect yourself, how to protect your space, and how to reduce or prevent sparks and fires from happening. So in my world with farming and gardening, one of the big things I talk about is equipment safety, ranging from the lawnmower all the way to the combine. We want to be thinking about when we're using these machines, what we're using them on, and how we're actually cleaning these machines too. A lot of commercial producers know this, but if you have combines or if you have tractors and you're not keeping them clean, dust can build up, for example, around bearings and actually start fires.
Yeah, and we, of course, have talked about this with the Douglas Forest Protective Association folks a lot because we have had a number of fires from different vehicle issues or, you know, sparks emitting, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Even trailers, as an example, with loose chains can spark off the road and cause fires. I've been on a trailer fire before, helping put it out before the fire department showed up. So it can happen. You might not even know it. So we want to make sure that we're keeping our equipment clean. We're keeping our equipment tight. Don't let those chains drag on the ground. And then carry some equipment with you. It's a good idea to have water, a fire extinguisher, a shovel, and a Pulaski if you have one.
All right. Let's talk about crops around the Umpqua Valley. Where are some of those at this point?
Yeah. So my favorite part of the segment, of course. Let's take a look at several of the crops that we grow around here. I'll start with vineyards. So right now in the world of wine grapes, we're managing canopies for either too much or too little sun. This is the time of year where we're starting to see a little bit of fruit development, so we're watching for powdery mildew, typically specifically on the leaves this time of year. You can also be watching out for blister mites or Eurypted mites. The good news is typically when you treat for powdery mildew, you're treating for those mites as well. And then for folks that are looking to harvest this year, we're probably in shoot positioning and looking at how much fruit we're actually going to develop.
And what about some of the other fruits?
Yeah, so blueberries, I want to know, so this is my question going out to the blueberry growers, where are you at in harvest this year? So with blueberries, there are three sort of developmental windows. There's early season blueberries, mid-season blueberries, and late season blueberries. And it seems to me that we're early on those early season blueberries this year. Normally, you're shooting for the week of or the week before July 4th. There's a really good market window there. And then after July 4th, that market fluctuates a little bit. But it sounds like, to me, we may have some folks that are harvesting even earlier than the week before July 4th this year.
Interesting. What about caneberries?
So with caneberries right now, depending on the variety you have, you're probably harvesting. So we want to make sure that we're making clean harvests, we're picking frequently, and then we're still keeping that irrigation up. So I know that water is a concern this year, but if you have access to it, we want to continue watering through through caneberry harvest.
And what about orchards?
With orchards, a wide variety of things are happening in the field right now. If you're in cherries, you may already be picking or be finished picking. If you were looking at apples, we're probably a little bit past, but you might still be through fruit printing. Same for pears. What that means for folks that don't have orchards is we go through and physically remove fruit from the trees to get a bigger harvest of what we call the king fruit or the center fruit in a cluster. With apples and pears, typically you'll have clusters of 3 to 5 fruit that form in the same bud, in the same spur, and you have to pull some of those off to make sure that you're getting good fruit.
And then what about folks with pastures?
So with pastures, the thing right now to be paying attention to is quality. So grass quality and forage quality is probably dropping on your pasture right now. So now's the time to think, are we integrating rotational grazing periods? Are we doing rest periods on parts of the pasture? Are we protecting those perennial grasses? And then what can we do to make sure that we have enough pasture for next year as well?
All right. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. More when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson on. County Commissioner Tom Kress will talk about the county budget as the new fiscal year begins tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Let's jump down to talking about farmers markets, small farms, and Looks like it's kind of the peak market season.
Absolutely. So this is the time of year where we see a lot of customers coming to farmers markets, and sometimes is when we start to see new farms going to the market themselves. So the farmers market can be a great place for farmers to sell their produce. We have a really lively farmers market community here, and so I wanted to mention this on air to talk about, you know, if you're a new marketer, feel free to reach out to the Extension Service. We can help you with marketing materials. We can talk to you about how to plan your crops and harvests, and talk about cooling produce, keeping those greens cold, and then reminding folks that if you are new to market and you want to go to sell, we should be focusing on things like food safety, making sure those greens are clean. If you're selling in containers, make sure that they're clean harvest containers. And then back to that heat safety thing, if you're brand new to a market, make sure that you have some shade to keep yourself cool.
Yeah, all right. A lot there with farmers markets. Anything else you should mention?
Yeah, I also work with market managers very frequently. So if you're a market manager who's looking to get signed up with SNAP or looking for education around what's legal under the Farm Direct Marketing Law, that's something we can help you with too.
All right. Now, let's see. What about gardeners?
Yeah, so for gardeners, we've spent quite a bit of time over the last couple of days talking about agriculture, but the principles of most of what we've talked about are the same whether you're farming 400 acres or you have four raised beds. So when we think about what we're doing in the gardens, we want to focus on deep watering, adding mulch where we can, avoiding that over-fertilization, scouting the crops, planning for succession. Actually, this afternoon, I'll be at the Riddle City Library teaching a class on planting for succession. We're going to be looking at, I know it sounds crazy because we're just in July, but we're going to be looking at what you should plant for fall already.
Oh boy, back to school.
Yep.
And when you say plant succession, define that, because I think not everybody knows what that means.
Great question. So depending on what you're growing, lettuce is a good example, you can plant the same crop over a period of days or weeks so that you can plan to harvest that throughout the season and continually have produce. And another example of that, what we'll be talking about today, is maybe after you're done with that lettuce crop, you want to plant something that's a longer growing crop that you can harvest later in the year. So we're going to be looking at fall brassicas. So for example, we'll be starting Brussels sprouts today that'll be harvested in November, and cabbage that'll be harvested near Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of planning goes into this stuff.
Yeah.
What about, now when you think about insects, most people have a negative viewpoint, but you claim that some insects are actually beneficial.
Oh, yeah. I would even venture to claim that a lot of insects are beneficial. So when we're talking about beneficial insects, we're looking at things like lacewings, ladybugs, hoverflies. There's a lot of habitat planning that we can do in the garden that will help benefit us not only in bringing in more pollinators, but also bringing in insects that tend to eat what we consider the bad guys.
All right. Now, for the OSU Extension Service, talk about some of the things you guys do.
Oh, yeah. So we cover a lot of different topics. You've heard a lot from me over the last couple days. I'm the Small Farms, Horticulture, and Master Gardener person. So if you're in agriculture, in any crop in the county, and have a question, you can reach out to me. As long as you're selling your produce or selling your crop, I can help you work through that. We also offer the Master Gardener program, which is actually recruiting now. And we're going, and the Master Gardener program covers all sorts of horticultural and agricultural education for the home gardener. We offer a 10-week course on that starting in September, and you get a master's level training class. And at the end of that, you come out, do some volunteer hours, and you're part of the Master Gardener program.
Right.
Yeah. And that's open right now. We're starting to recruit for that. So if you want to join the Master Gardener program, give us a call. We also have scholarships available. But it's not just agriculture and horticulture that are at the Extension office. We also have a really robust forestry program, natural resources. And we have a really good 4-H group. And we have the Master Food Preservers and our healthy living programs. So there's a lot to offer at the Extension office.
How many people actually work there?
Ooh, good question.
You're counting.
Yes, I am. I'm using all of my fingers. I think we're right around 8 or 9 people right now.
So, but that's a lot of programs, a lot of things for 8 or 9 people.
Yes. So one of the wonderful things about the Extension Service, not only in this county, but all over the United States, is that we are designed to try to serve the communities in which we are in. So we're really blessed to be able to work with a lot of folks to help them achieve their goals. So for example, with me, I get to hang out with farmers, ranchers, and gardeners all day, and it's just the best thing in the world.
Now, you're getting ready for the Douglas County Fair, too.
Yes, we are. So anyone who's in 4-H or leads a club knows that we are gearing up for fair time. Speaking of which, club leaders, make sure that you have your project submissions done by July 1st.
Which would be tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Get on it. And if you need, man, wow, that snuck up quick, didn't
it? Yeah.
And if you are pulling projects out from your students, or excuse me, your club members, if they decide they don't want to do a particular project, those have to be removed by July 15th, which is a little farther away.
All right, now talk about some of the other upcoming things you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a Learn and Grow coming up at the co-op. That's July 17th. Learn and Grow means that we set up at the co-op and we teach a class about any given subject. Now, I told you guys this afternoon I'm teaching a class on planning for fall crops at the Riddle Community Library. We're doing that class again July 17th at the co-op in Roseburg. And those are on Fridays, so Friday, July 17th from 4 to 5. And we'll be looking at crops you can plant that day and harvest this year when it gets cold outside.
And what about the August, the tree school event?
Yeah, we have a huge class, or I guess series of classes, coming up August 21st at the tree school in Umpqua. And what that is a large-scale program at the Umpqua Community College hosted by OSU Extension, where you can pick from, I think it's, you know, 4 different blocks of classes that have multiple speakers from around the state that are professionals in forestry and can help you with all sorts of things. The one I was looking at specifically was, of course, forest soils.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And then we also have a free soils class coming up in Elkton, speaking of soils, on July 18th at 10 a.m. And what we're going to be doing there is talking about soil testing, how to read soil tests, and how to actually use that in your home, garden, or farm.
Wanted to wrap up with a few more minutes here and talk about pests. And we're not talking telemarketers. We're talking about pests. And the fact, though, there was something that I saw yesterday, I forwarded it to you, about the pest seasons are kind of not as predictable.
No, they are not as predictable as they used to be. And that's because the season isn't as predictable as it used to be. So we can't rely on sort of our old knowledge as much anymore, unfortunately. So we're moving towards using, for example, degree day calculators and other monitors to figure out when we're seeing these pests, what new pests we have, and how we can manage for those.
And when you say pests, what all are we talking about?
Yeah, so when we look at pests, we could be talking about insects, which is most commonly what we look at, but also fungi, bacteria, viruses. There's a lot going on in the pest world and pest management world. And what we're seeing is that our seasons elongating actually changes the distribution, occurrence, and the kind of pests that we're starting to see and the pressure of those pests.
Now, there was one that I heard about recently. It's on your list here, the emerald ash borer.
Yes. The emerald ash borer is considered one of the most destructive pests in the United States, and it was recently found in Oregon up near the Portland area. So this is an example of what we've done right. When it was found that we had emerald ash borer in Oregon, an immediate quarantine was set in place, and they're scouting around those areas to figure out where this borer has made it to and how it's moving. And we've also, I believe, put a ban on moving ash wood, fringe wood, and olive wood out of those counties.
Yeah, it seems like one of those things that if you don't, you know, act really aggressively, really quick, your problem is just going to get much bigger.
Absolutely. Especially with something like the emerald ash borer, which is a winged insect. So it can fly, several miles a year, and that can turn into a larger distribution really quickly.
Wow. Anything else people ought to know about pests?
Yeah. So one thing I really recommend right now is thinking about scouting. So, for example, if you have berries, you want to be out looking for spotted winged Drosophila, using the correct kind of trap for those guys, which you can find examples of how to make those on the Extension website. They're relatively simple. But management prevention is a lot easier than having to go back and deal with it later.
All right, about a minute left. Boy, you guys really do stay very busy.
Yeah, we do.
So if people want to find out more about getting involved with Extension, or if somebody's been hearing the last couple of days and they've got a question because they didn't realize they might have a problem that they now realize they have, what do they do?
Yeah, so you can either come check out our plant clinic, which is at 1134 Southeast Douglas. We're right next to the courthouse. We're open weekdays 1 to 4, or if you have a farm or ranch question, you can get a hold of me, 541-236-3015, or logan.bennett at oregonstateuniversity.com, or check out our website.
And again, you got classes and different seminars and all of this pretty much back to back.
Oh, yeah, we stay busy. And when I come on next, we'll talk about the stuff that's happening later in the year.
All right, a lot going on. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for being on.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.